Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
The pod, the cast, the pod of the cast. Hey, this is the cast of the podcast. Like we're here to talk about cast.
Podcast.
Oh. We gone record the show now.
It's the ghost the worst with the year most. Ever.
It's not great this year so far. A lot of people dead from COVID, the most ever in this country. Canada's been shut down by fascists in trucks.
Oh, baby.
Or at least part of Canada, Ottawa, you know. Canada's dealing with, I don't know, literally the exact same thing that happened to Portland a couple of years ago. Mm. You know, the year isn't the best ever, I would argue. I think most people would agree.
Certainly does not rack up on my best ever list.
The blurst of times.
But you know what? We are 1 month down officially.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Yep. We are
y'all.
1 month down. If I was going to pick a best year, it would probably be somewhere between Simpsons season 2 and 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's hard to argue with.
Carefree times.
Yeah.
Nationally, I would say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All that matters is the Simpsons was doing well.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think my best year, I think my whole life peaked at a Disneyland trip I took in 2019.
Ooh,
where we took mushrooms.
That's pretty recent, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, it was one of the best experiences of my life. Fall downhill swiftly from there, late 2019.
Did you get to see Toontown? I've only been to Disneyland once on acid, and Toontown was closed. It closed when I got there. It was really, really upsetting.
Well, you know, Toontown isn't all it's made out to be.
What?
You gotta mosey over to California Adventure and check out the car land. That's what's up.
I wanted to see Bill and Bear cartoons.
That's not what we're here to talk about today.
I suppose not.
We're gonna, I guess, chit chat about some news items, and then back to Ben the book.
Ooh. Oh, the 8-page masterpiece coming to a conclusion.
Well,
are we crawling through?
Oh yeah, we are.
But first, we'll talk about the news a little bit.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
We're teasing. It's a tease.
Well, yes. Oh, good.
I'm trying to titillate everybody
with something that we'll probably deal with a little more later. And it could happen here, but I think is worth talking about, which is redistricting. I found it interesting. I've been reading a couple of things, like because I think, like most folks, there was an assumption on all of our behalfs based on a good amount of evidence that redistricting was going to be a fucking disaster for the Democratic Party. That was like that the right would do even more of the gerrymandering they did in 2011 after the Tea Party wave, and it was going to be. There was a lot of talk about how the Dems could lose the House entirely through redistricting. And boy, howdy, that's really not what's going down so far. There's a good article from December of 2021 in the New York Magazine Intelligencer that is about like how the redistricting process has gone, and it's like continued to go pretty well for the Democratic Party. Like despite the fact that Republicans have sole authority over 193 congressional districts and Democrats have 94, with more than half of the redistricting finalized at this point, it looks like it's still going to be tilted in favor of the GOP, but significantly less than it was before, than it was after the Tea Party wave. And it's possible that the whole map is actually going to wind up tilted kind of in Democratic favor. There's a number of reasons for this. Some of them are that basically after the Tea Party wave, the redistricting, the gerrymandering that the Republicans engaged in was so sweeping, there really wasn't much more to optimize. And so the Democrats actually had kind of more room to improve things because the Republicans had kind of gerrymandered about as fucking hard as they could.
Yeah, we've seen Crenshaw's district.
Yeah, and some of it is that. Previously, Democrats were less prone to gerrymandering than Republicans were. And so there were states like Oregon and California that hadn't done it as hard as a lot of other states had. And they have all gerrymandered pretty hard in favor of Democrats, which has wiped out some Republican seats. And so that's a chunk of it. And some of it's obviously just demographics. There's less Republicans every year because it's a death cult. So it at the moment, like this article that I found in the Intelligencer, which I thought was pretty enlightening, kind of ends on this note. Quote, "There are two big wild cards left in the redistricting fight, Ohio and North Carolina. In both those states, Republican trifectas have prepared extreme partisan gerrymanders that are currently facing legal challenge. North Carolina's Supreme Court has a 4-3 Democratic majority. Ohio's has a 4-3 Republican majority. But one of the GOP justices is a relative moderate. And in oral arguments, the Ohio justices seemed displeased that the Republican map blatantly ignored the state's constitutional amendment against gerrymandering." And so, like, right now, if I'm not mistaken, let me double check. Yeah, in North Carolina, they upheld the Republican gerrymander. Yeah, and in Ohio, it got struck down just recently, like a couple of days ago. So, like, one of these went for the GOP and one of these states didn't. And so, you know, at the moment, like, the calculations kind of when this article was written in December was that if both of those things, both of those rulings went in favor of the Democratic Party, that map might tip to be more Democratic as a whole than the nation. Both of them are not going the way of the Democrats, but one of them did, which means that, like, this is actually the House map is actually significantly less gerrymandered now in favor of the Republicans than it has been for the last, like, 12 years.
That's great news.
Which is interesting, yeah. And I think a case of, like, we get it's very easy to get doomery a lot, especially because the Republican or the Democratic Party has not been knocking it out of the park by most admissions, but not everything. The Republicans have not entirely been having their own way, and gerrymandering is like not a good thing. But I guess I'm not going to whine about
reverse,
going against the Republicans.
Reverse gerrymandering
really
in our favor.
Frustrating because it is like, well,
bad.
Yeah, it's all bad, and like it shouldn't exist, and it should the maps just shouldn't look like that. And we're now in this sort of back and forth of like, well, you're doing it to us really, really extremely, so we're gonna like defend ourselves and kind of push back a little bit, but it's still fucked.
It's still all fucked. Ridiculous.
It's also though like, what are you gonna do? Just let them do it?
And well, exactly, and right? Like,
no, this is kind of the Dems doing the thing that like we've all been pissed at, which is like, you guys never actually play the same game. And
yeah,
here they are, and they're doing good.
So I guess I don't part know. Of me is also like, so when we lose the House in 2024,
well, that's the thing. It's just like,
it's not because of gerrymandering necessarily.
It doesn't seem like that will be the issue. There is this article I've been reading from the New York Magazine one does end with the note. The biggest threat to Democrats' House majority in 2022 is no longer Republican gerrymandering, but rather the combination of the opposition party's inherent turnout advantage in midterms and Joe Biden's dismal poll numbers. Mm-hmm. Mm. So, you know, one of those things you can never do anything about, right? This is just like for decades it's been this way that like, the opposition party does well in the midterm after the election.
It's wild. It never, this is neither here nor there. Well, it's somewhere.
It's here.
We're at the midterms. And Biden's been in office for a year. Like, I know the election was 2020.
I know.
And so 2020, but right now, January 2022, he's been in office for a year and it's time to start.
Oh, yeah.
yeah.
I mean,
it never ends.
It all bleeds together.
I mean, it started the second.
In a year, we're going to start talking about primaries for 2024. Yeah. It's going to be.
It's like an unlivable situation. Politics is.
But
I don't know. So that's worth knowing. So again, like one of those things that might turn like basically kind of a year ago, I was looking at it as like, all right, well, the things that are going to cost the Dems the House are gerrymandering, Biden and the Democrats fucking up and not achieving much in the way of popular support because they won't do what they need to do. And just kind of the inherent advantage that the opposition party has in midterms. And now it's a bit different. The Dems did not hump a bunk when it came to redistricting. They did. Right. They did completely shit the bed when it came to being a popular governing party.
You know? Right.
That is undeniable.
You're listing this. You're making this list. Like, yeah. So, bright side, one fewer.
Yeah. I mean, like, look. But I don't know.
Take what you can get.
I try not to do this thing that other people who kind of share a lot of my political beliefs and our political beliefs do, where you look at everything through that lens. You should try to watch things kind of objectively, like how are they playing the game? And in this area, they played the game a lot better than I think we were initially giving them credit for, certainly than I was. And that's worth noting.
It's worth noting. Yeah. And the other thing that is definitely going to be at play this year in the midterms. Mm. It would be inflation and that whole conversation.
Sure.
And then what's happening right now. Yeah. A lot going on. And whether or not we Dems have done the right thing for inflation, but then it's also about like stimulating the economy. You need to do that. You need to, and they get flack for things and how that might affect inflation, but you know, missing the point that all of the different pieces of a pandemic and a supply chain issues and et cetera, are also, anyway, you guys get it.
Yeah. People have a lot of,
it's frustrating.
It will be frustrating and things can change so quickly.
They can. Mm-hmm. Who knows where we'll be?
It is February. Also, we're going to see a lot more of it, and it's going to be hell because we should be done with him. He should just be a dead guy. Trump's going to do more and more rallies and more explicit things of like, if I run in 2024, I promise to do this. And so then we're going to sort of see like who in the GOP is going to like hop on board those promises,
yeah,
and be like, "Oh, that's the one we gotta do."
Yeah, I'm gonna pardon the Capitol rioters. I'm gonna end democracy. All this stuff.
Yeah, all these things, and like, who's going to basically
Pence should have overturned
adopt those points from him and ride them through the midterms.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. Fun, guys. See what's happening.
And so, you know, I think we're all in agreement here that the number one thing we all support for 2024. Is a nice, quiet, natural passing in bed for both Joe Biden and Donald Trump.
Wouldn't that be nice for
Look,
them?
Look, they've lived well beyond the average lifespan of an American citizen. It's
they
fine.
Just slip sweetly into sleep.
Yeah, just a nice, peaceful passing as
they
happens.
They can do it together.
To
they can hug
anyone.
Like
hands.
The Titanic, that couple
like
of
Titanic.
Yeah, step off the edge of a boat together. That might heal the country.
Yeah. Televise it.
We all learn they've been fucking this whole time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That'd be fun.
We will learn that.
That would be
fun. That is a fair prediction.
That would be really fun. Well, there's this group in Portland called the Portland Business Alliance, which is, we talked about this on a few episodes. They control a significant chunk through these kind of business improvement district thing, a decent chunk of the policing in downtown Portland. They used to have their own DA they were funded. They get to levy taxes. The Portland Business Association is like all of the rich business owners in Portland. Who have been operating a series of campaigns against the left and against, you know, in favor of the shit mayor. We've got Ted Wheeler. They're just trash. Mm-hmm. They want to give a shitload of money to the police and put the homeless people into camps. They're not nice folks. I don't like them. Every now and then they put out a poll that seems to be showing that everything they say is right. So like today.
Most
Portlanders say quality of life in the city is getting worse, poll finds, which was uncritically reported in an article by KATU to ABC and a number of other local news agencies, because local journalists are generally pretty bad at what they do. Local journalism is critical. I've known a lot of local journalists. Most of them suck. KATU sucks. Here's what KATU writes about this. Most Portlanders feel the quality of life is getting worse, a new poll from the Portland Business Alliance found, with a majority saying the city is heading on the wrong track. The Portland Business Alliance said that the poll, conducted by DHSim Research, found pessimism at the Rose City at an all-time high and the approval of the city council at a historic low. So, this is what they, and then they just kind of report.
Did they take the poll on Nextdoor?
I'm about to talk about how they.
I was going to say, I can't wait for you to tell me how.
88% of voters say that quality of life is getting worse, up from 49% in 2017. A lot of really stark stuff. At no point does KETU actually analyze the nature of the study. You guys want to guess how many people were surveyed for this wonderful study?
15.
No, it was more than that. It was 500 people. But only half of them lived in the city of Portland.
Yes!
250 lived in Portland.
Oh, my God.
250 lived in the counties and, like, the areas around it. So it was either – it was people who did not – 250 did not live in Portland boundaries, on the outskirts of the city. The Portland Business Alliance assures us this is a sufficient sample size to assess voter opinions generally.
Where did they get the people from? Like, were they gathered outside of the church?
From where the cops live in a lot of cases, right?
Okay,
From these counties that fucking hate Portland, the margin of error for the full sample is plus or minus 4.4%, and the margin of error for the city of Portland sample, for the actual people who live in Portland, is 6.2%, plus or minus. So it's, I don't know, I think it's bad.
Doesn't seem good.
Sounds bad.
Yeah.
Sounds inaccurate.
Also, I feel like there's an element of, like, must remind people that this, of the pandemic. So, like, things, I think people generally think things have gotten worse. Mm-hmm. Also, it seems like
absolutely.
They didn't phrase it like gotten worse, but rather on the wrong track.
You know, people are frustrated by everything in life, the pandemic, this, that. They're, you know, reacting to news headlines. They blame it on city council or whatever, some reaction to progressives. You know, they bundle all of their complaints up at something that they, that has nothing to do with it necessarily.
Yeah. Well, so it's like there's a thing about the a trend of sort of framing for people outside of a city that this actual city is like crime ridden and a hellhole and covered in garbage. And so it sells this sort of narrative of what the city is like inside to people mm-hmm. outside that don't actually know what it is that they're talking about. But I don't live in Portland, so I can't really speak to this. So I would be one of the other 250 people who said, yeah, maybe.
That's right. Me too.
You know?
Yeah. 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 So they like, one of the sites I'm finding, again, not a statistics expert, is saying that, like, in a population of 200,000 people, a pretty good sample size would be about 1,000 folks. So that's four times as many as were sampled for a city three times that large.
And for a journalist, for an article to cite a study like that is so irresponsible. Well,
and they're trying to claim that their sample group is like people who live on the outskirts of town, but they're kind of ignoring the really stark political biases and the fact that those people don't live in Portland. Mm. And I like, those are the people who were, like, in some cases setting up armed checkpoints during the fires because they thought Antifa was lighting mm-hmm. their forests on fire. It's just
so
nonsense.
Should be
like, it's
nice
a study,
big asterisk, but
it's a study calculated to, and this happens in other places than Portland.
Of course, it's calculated to present a side that's supposed to mm-hmm. create more people that agree with that side.
They know what they were
Anyway, you wanted to talk about Barry Weiss?
I don't.
Yes, you do.
I made a joke before we recorded that we should talk about the news, particularly about one woman who went to a liberal college for a while and then didn't like the vaccine mandate and went to mm-hmm. another college. And that's the news.
That is the news.
But I've nothing more to say about it than that description of the article.
Good.
That's the thing that happened. And
we've told you guys about it.
This is
Barry Weiss on her little kick of, like, finding this anecdote and then ballooning it to this trend, this worldview shift and trend that's consuming our colleges. It's like, well, I don't know. Seems like she just didn't want to get the vaccine and then spent $75,000 on another school instead of the scholarship that she got for the other school.
Her body, her choice.
It's true. I mean, yeah, there you go. She did what she had to do. It is not news, is my point.
Yeah, no, it's not. But at the same time, it is the only news that exists, which is culture war news, because that's the only thing actually going on while the climate continues to spiral and our food supply gets ever more fragile and a plague spreads. All that's really happening in a way that is monetizable by news agencies is the culture war.
I can't. I can't fuck the M&M or Mickey Mouse or Minnie Mouse anymore. So what are you supposed to do?
Cody,
I can fuck Mickey Mouse.
You absolutely can.
Well,
You just have to unbutton her pants.
Yeah. Honestly, the only thing I really have faith in this world is that you could fuck the M&M if you really tried.
I could. Thank you.
Good. You could.
Wow. Can we end this early?
Yeah.
Well, we can end this segment.
Unrelated reasons.
No.
Nothing to do with M&Ms. Just want to end the thing earlier.
Yeah. You're not gonna go fucking M&M.
No.
We're gonna take a break for these sponsors.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
And then we're gonna come back for some Ben Shapiro, baby.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Oh, yeah. We're back.
Yeah.
Oh, ooh, God.
Mama.
That's the good
USSR.
Stuff.
You don't know how lucky you are.
That's how we do it. Yeah, like butter. Cody,
Yo.
How's our big bud, buddy been? Big boy buddy been?
Oh, he's good.
How we do?
He's writing his stories.
He's chilling.
Doing art for people. He's getting his ideas out there via art.
Give me his ideas being on.
You got to have a special boy to look at a shooting star and break free from the chains of authoritarianism, which is everybody gets fruits and vegetables in their fridge. And
you got to
have
fruit. You
regulated
get some fruit.
Double pane windows. Anyway, when last we left our hero, I guess is what we would call him, he left the bubble, capital B. Mm-hmm. And he is now walking toward mountain, capital M.
He just is walking.
Cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
Here's something not related to the story at all, but
thank
I just
God. Thank already, God. Already, yes. Save
no,
us.
No, no. Because I said, like, do the previous Leons, and I just remembered something that I've always wanted to talk about, or for a while I have. It's not a big deal, and in fact, I've built it up too much already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you are watching a show, mm-hmm. when it's a streaming show, mm-hmm. my opinion... You either get a previously on or you get a dope long intro sequence. You do not get both. We don't need both. Mm. I don't need to see the recap and then 3 minutes of an intro sequence.
Interesting.
Give me a quick, sharp intro.
Sounds
Sorry,
like you have a
again.
Show in mind. Sounds like a show's been bothering you.
It's not one specific show.
Mm. Just a thing.
All right.
It's okay. Just a thing. Okay, whatever. No one's jumping on this bait. I think it's a pretty... I bet that someone listening...
Well,
agrees.
See, when you talk about Netflix, I know you can always skip the intros. So
you can't. I'm not talking about Netflix. I'm talking about any other number
any
of streaming platforms.
Right. Okay.
And sometimes it's, yeah. Okay. No one wants to get on this hill with me. It's fine.
I steal all my shows.
Steal them, I guess. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. Fmovies.com.
So I don't get any of the programmed in stuff.
The bullshit.
I steal my short stories.
Tell us about Ben. I've detoured us enough.
Mm-hmm. He's doing great.
I really thought
art.
It.
I'm sorry.
I'm sure you're right.
Yeah. It's fine. We can deal with it later off the show.
We will deal with this later. Right. By the time... Sorry, Robert.
No, I mean, there is apparently... So someone in the subreddit noticed that Ben Shapiro's launched a paid access book club. And
I did see that.
He's told his fans that he's going to be publishing a dystopian sci-fi novel at some point.
Oh my God, we have to join.
And the first book his book club is going to read together is
1984.
Oh my God. I think that we should join.
Ooga. I will not give him money for that.
I mean, we could
do a
Jamie Loftus style deep dive investigation into Ben Shapiro's book club.
I would love to look into it to some extent.
That
I
other
certainly will read his terrible science fiction.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yes. We'll get the band
gonna
back
bonus
together.
Pod.
That's going to be the best thing that's ever happened to us.
Oh, I hope it's just this, but longer. Mm-hmm.
He just fleshes it out a bit.
Yeah, just like, yeah. Maybe he takes our notes. You know, maybe he's been listening.
That's when did he launch this? Has he been listening and taking notes?
Ugh, I think he has. I think
beautiful.
He has to have
okay.
Had.
Okay, let's get started.
God.
Okay.
Man. All right. Okay. You know what? Okay. All right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Robert's brandishing a war club right now for the people
at
home.
It's yeah. Obviously.
It's like, is he going to deny that he's
it's
brandishing
it?
It's
not a joke.
No, it's just a good,
it's just a club in case I got to club somebody. You
Fair.
Know? You never know.
Speaking of club, book club. Mm-hmm. Speaking of book club, books. Mm-hmm. Speaking of books, not this, but we're going to read it anyway. By the time he approached the light on the mountain, he was dirtier than he had ever been in his life. At least so far as he remembered.
So there was
it.
A light on the mountain? Okay.
Yeah, there's a light on the mountain.
Yeah.
Oh, so the last section, he's looking at the mountain, which is closer to the bubble than he thought. A light shone on the mountain, winking in the distance. The bubble shut behind him. He walked toward the mountain.
Oh, I can't wait for this to be somehow both a rip off of 1984 and The Giver and The Matrix.
Oh,
I'm
just
feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely got some Giver vibes coming up. Good Lord. Mm-hmm. All right, let's do it. By the time he approached the light on the mountain, he was dirtier than he'd ever been in his life, at least so far as he remembered it. That's kind of awkward. Grime and ash coated his face. His skin felt gritty, as though each pore were individually rubbing against the others. He could feel the dirt particles between his fingers, underneath his uniform, in his ears. Heat radiated from the mountain like an enormous kiln.
Okay.
I have a question. Has he mentioned his uniform yet?
No. No, I don't think he's described that at all.
I want to know what the fucking uniform looks like. What the fuck, man?
Oh, you would like Ben Shapiro to write a book,
like, what
huh?
The hell?
No, that's not going
to
happen.
Maybe there was a reference to regulation clothes, but I don't know
fucking
for sure.
Fucking maybe. Yeah. I'm doing a search in this. I'm sorry.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
It,
this is the first time I've heard of a goddamn uniform.
Sex us up.
48. She was not beautiful, and she was not ugly. She wore the blue uniform of the Ministry of Personal Needs. That's
so that,
her uniform.
We've described how the women dress, yes.
Yeah, that's, okay, this is the second and only other reference to a uniform.
He described anything about how he was dressed.
No, he absolutely
did not. Everyone else was dressed.
No. But whatever it looked like, who knows, but whatever it looked like, it's got dirt underneath it, under that uniform that is... an appearance of some kind. The mountain was rocky, far less smooth than it appeared from a distance, like all things.
What?
Sorry, no,
profound.
That's just me adding that, sorry.
Oh, well.
I mean, the mountain was rocky, far less smooth than it appeared from a distance, to which I added, yeah, like all things are like, yeah. It's like blurry from a distance. He's like, yeah, it's more detailed now, whatever. Anyway. The darkness of the mountain concealed its craggy surfaces. Now, as he climbed down into a crevice, the light disappeared for a moment. When he climbed up again, it stood before him, a door in the ledge. Above the door, an inscription had been pounded into the flat black rock. All caps, "The Creed of Ignorance."
Oh, boy.
Wait, so is the light the door?
Yeah.
Coming from the door.
It's coming from the door. The door in the ledge, which is like the ledge, some ledge he's on.
Okay.
Really, really like, just like a terrible description of climbing a mountain.
Yeah, it is.
Give it to me one more time.
It's just like three. He gets there. The mountain was rocky, far less smooth than it appeared from a distance. The darkness of the mountain concealed its craggy surfaces. Now, as he climbed down into a crevice, the light disappeared for a moment. When he climbed up again, it stood before him, a door in the ledge. That's it.
It's really bad. Really bad.
Apparently
so the mountain is rocky and you can't tell from a distance.
And then he got there and now he's in the crevice.
But his first description of climbing up the mountain included climbing down.
Yes, down
so
into a crevice.
It's confusing. Like, you're supposed to, like, there's nothing wrong with including that detail, but you haven't told me that you started.
Oh, yeah,
climb.
No, he didn't start, exactly.
Like suddenly, he climbed down, then back up. Were you climbing up? Okay.
In the middle of describing what the mountain looked like, closer up than from a distance, he's saying, now I'm climbing down to a crevice. It's just very awkward and weird, but it's fine.
Clunky.
We're at the magic door.
Hey, Ben, she clunky.
She clunky. "The Creed of Ignorance!" He gazed up at it, wondering. "Do you understand it?" The voice came from inside the door. It beckoned him closer. "No," he answered.
"Good," said the voice. "Come in. Don't be afraid."
He edged through the door, hot.
That is pretty sexy. That does fuck, Cody. You gotta get that.
The light inside was extraordinarily bright, oddly harsh. It illuminated a sparse marble room lined with a wall of books. He had never seen so many books. Actually, he had never seen a book at all. They were obsolete.
That's my favorite.
How does he know what it is then? Okay.
Look at all those books.
Fiction
writing tip, I don't even know what a book
is. Include lines that make the entire story derail as you wonder, how?
I have to say, I mean, he's done this a million times already in this one, like referring to things like that he doesn't know, but
he doesn't know.
The mountain, which I've never seen before, or the Ministry of Education, which I don't use.
Because he's, so like the narrator is omniscient. It's the third person narrator. So it's not necessarily from the character's point of view. It's just awkward and weird to say that kind of stuff.
Because he's done it. He did it bad and he did it wrong.
He did it. It's dumb. He did it bad and he did it wrong. But also when he's saying, actually, he'd never seen a book at all. They were obsolete, he had been told. So he like knows the word book. He's been told books are obsolete. But like he doesn't know what it is or what it looks like.
There's so many questions that it raises. And it's the shit that is so consistently fascinating about the badness of Ben's story, where you can what's actually going on is he's realizing as he's writing, he's like punching it up as he's writing, but he doesn't like go back and edit anything to make it flow. So he's like, the wall was lined in books. Oh, you know what? He should not know what a book is at all. I'll just include that after him saying.
Right.
That's
right.
What I mean is that I like sometimes feels like, or to me, it feels like maybe one person read it and he just sloppily adds in extra sentences to maybe this is a spot where I can do something about books. So it's not well thought out. It's just thrown in. That is if he even let somebody read this.
Yeah, he
you
got
know, that's
maybe
if.
One round of notes and was like, oh, I'll do it here where they put the note, not think
he's
about
like,
it holistically.
These notes,
like a book.
Easy. I got this. I can knock it out in a half hour.
Yeah.
And then he types it in.
And then he knocked it out in 20 minutes. Anyway, after he hotly edged through the doorway, he saw the books. They were obsolete. He had been told, so he'd never seen one at all, but he knew that they were books, I guess. I don't know. It's unclear if the narrator knows it or not. But a small wooden table marked the corner of the room. A bed lay along the opposite wall, and in that bed was a tiny man, wrinkled with age, weak with decay. His mouth grinned. So he grinned.
Ben.
His mouth grinned. God. Oh, I see what he's doing. His mouth grinned. His eyes did not.
Is he dead?
Who are you?
The man demanded. He didn't know what to answer. He had never been asked.
I see,
said the man.
And what are you doing here?
Silence.
But you are out here, are you not? Outside the bubble?
He pointed out the door. The velvety purple beyond, where the meteor continued to burn brightly across the night sky. What?
Yeah, what's up with that meteor? How long has it been there?
This is the first and only time he uses the word meteor in this story.
And he
saw this shooting star, which is not the same thing.
Mm-mm.
A shooting star.
I mean, presumably that's what this person is referring to.
Like,
also, he didn't know there was a bubble around him, and he's got the word for. Anyway, again, narrator flipping back
just,
and forth. It's all bullshit.
It's yeah.
It's not good writing.
Like it's yeah. It's just not good because like he saw the shooting star and then left it at that, and then pages and pages later he's talking about a meteor. They are technically the same thing, but it's a shooting star is visible briefly. That's the whole point.
Yes, that's
why we call it that. It is a meteor that is seen briefly. So like,
and so if there was a meteor, he would, if there was a meteor and we, or that something we're supposed to be continuing to see, why haven't we continued to see it? Why hasn't he?
Right. Like this is
continued to like, that's a guide. He would notice it. If he noticed the shooting star, he would notice that it's still there.
Guiding him to the mountain or something, or like in the sky while
he runs. Star north or whatever.
Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't know. That probably wouldn't have made it a better story.
No, but this is confusing.
It wouldn't have made me stop when I read that there's a meteor in the sky.
Yeah, just throwing it in there suddenly. Yeah, it would have been better if you'd at least tried to make it a theme, you know? That would have made sense, too, with Ben being all weird about Judeo-Christianity.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. It would have worked better than what he did.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just like the phrase, the meteor continued to burn brightly. It's like, what do you mean continued?
Yeah.
Like.
All right.
Yeah, because we haven't had this introduced before. But
unless.
Again,
unless. And we'll
there's
find
always
out
a meteor.
Soon. Well, we're going to find a little bit out about what this meteor is.
After this ad break.
Oh, really?
I think so, yeah.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, dumb, dumb.
can't wait to find out what the meteor is. What the shooting star that he saw in the sky that no one's ever seen before. And he's the only one that saw it. And it made him wake up. And then he escaped the bubble, which has never happened before, except for maybe this old tiny man who's in this room in the mountain that was bright in the distance. And now he's up close after climbing down a crevice and then back up it. All right. He pointed out the door to the velvety purple beyond where the meteor continued to burn brightly across the night sky.
Ah!
The man sighed.
Ah!
Do that better.
Mm-hmm. Halley's Comet. I know you don't know what it is. Never mind about that. Suffice it to say that it shows up once every 75 years. Your father and mother must have seen it at some point.
Okay. I mean, okay. Presuming a lot of things about his age and his parents' age. Like, your father and mother must have seen it at some point. If
wait a minute, is it a meteor like, or is it a is it Halley's Comet?
It's Halley's Comet.
Are those
Comet.
The same thing? So they just referenced it as a meteor, and then the next line, it's a comet.
Well,
I'm not sure if, how distinctly different those things are. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
It's just, it's mostly this. It's based on the size. It's mostly the size.
Okay. Whatever. Whatever. I'm just saying we're all over the place.
No, so
we've
like
got
a shooting
star,
shooting,
we've got meteor, we've got comet. That's
a shooting star. More often than not, is a very tiny like ball of like ice and rock. It burns up in the atmosphere. It's why it turns bright. It's why we can see it. Usually, they don't like you don't see a shooting star, and then it like continues off into the sky. It's because of its like interaction with the atmosphere that we see it. It is technically a meteor. A comet is tends to be much larger. Comets do these cycles. They return. Halley's Comet is a comet. It's a very large piece of rock and ice that has been on a long journey through space. And
totally.
it's just not clear that he was referring to a comet, but rather a shooting star, which you see regularly in the sky. If you can see a clear sky, like, oh, look, briefly, shooting star. That's burnt up anyway. It's fine.
It's fine.
Is it?
It's
okay. Continue.
It's it is.
I'm just stuck on this like assumption that like your father and mother must have seen it at some point. If they were, if they're 75 and over, and even then they saw it when they were a baby, whatever. At that, he spoke.
Also, does he know his parents? Like,
that's because, what it implies.
Yeah.
But that, but no, I don't think it's
the rest of it. What this story is kind of implies the concept of the family has been eliminated.
Yeah.
Right.
Like in 1984. Okay, cool.
Well, so here we go. Your mother and father must have seen it at some point. At that, he spoke. I never knew my mother and father.
Oh, okay. Okay, there we go.
Or father and mother is what he says.
But you remember the comet.
I don't know what I remember. Mostly nothing. But something.
What?
I see.
The man nodded his lip.
And you came out here.
I had to. I am not like the others.
Ew. The wait, man why would he remember the comet?
I don't know. Some fucking magic that we're going to learn about. Because he's not like the others. He said it right there. He's not like the others.
You don't remember your parents, but you remember the comet.
Well, he's not like the others, Katie. Okay? Not like the others. Okay. The man gestured to the chair and propped himself on one arm. He looked a little like a gnome, withered and malevolent.
Let me tell you a story,
he began.
Many years ago, humanity was diverse. There were men and women of various races, ethnicities, abilities, and they were all
did you
unhappy.
Say various or nefarious?
Oh, we're getting a little various. Bit of Harrison Bergeron ripoff here, too.
Here we go. It's happening.
Yeah.
Various races, ethnicities, abilities.
And they were all unhappy.
Mm.
For no matter what measures government tried, inequality remained. Redistribution of resources merely masked the problem. Laws directed toward helping particular groups often ended with them being strangely disadvantaged.
Pretty sure he's talking about the Civil Rights Act. this guy,
yeah,
I love him.
He certainly is.
Different abilities bred different values, different belief systems. Those values and systems caused conflict. We tried everything to solve it. We tried education. We tried genetic treatments designed to raise the average intelligence. but each IQ point meant a massive difference in outcome.
Oh, God.
Yeah. The man looked at him, peered
at
him.
Man, he really didn't have to work hard to get a bunch of answers, did he?
Also, how does this guy know what IQ is? He's, that's not being explained. Like, this would just be Moon Man talk to him.
His wall of books that he will one day read. Oh, yeah, him. Like, yeah, what the fuck is IQ? I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Even the word diversity is like, what? Like,
again, if you're, you can either have him, the character, like, not understand any of these words and, like, you know, maybe that leads to a moment this where this man, like, realizes how different he's made and he could celebrate, like, ah, it's such a success that you don't understand any of this. Like, it means, you know... It worked, or whatever. Yeah, it worked. Or you could have like him speak differently and be like, "We tried to make people more intelligent, but you know, then that led to this." And
it's so embarrassing.
Ben does neither, which is fine.
Obvious and on the nose. This is. How lazy. You are all listening. You know, it hurts almost.
It's incredible that this is what he has arrived at.
It isn't.
It hurts because, like, I'm somebody that when I watch something really embarrassing or whatever cringe, it really makes my insides get squidgy.
Well, strap in and hop in the walk-in freezer to get that squidge. Ice cold and rock hard.
Okay, what's up? What's next?
All right. So he edged through the door. The man looked at him, peered at him.
"Do you know,"
said the man,
"good Lord,
what it is that makes us happy?"
He shook his head.
"Nothing."
"What is it, Ben?"
"Nothing makes us happy. But it is desire, aspiration, that makes us unhappy. Ambition, jealousy, these make us unhappy. The man who reaches for the stars is sure to fall short. The man who reaches out to the divine is sure to remain lonely. The man who reaches for his toothbrush, provided that his toothbrush is in its proper place, is satisfied. No dreams means no unhappiness, or at least equal unhappiness. And if no one has experienced true joy, the joy of achievement, then no one knows that they are missing."
"Then no one knows that they are missing." It's a typo, sorry. "Not my fault, not my fault!
Then no one knows that they are missing."
Should be what? But it's not. It continues. Fuck. All right.
"Equality is the key. Equality cannot be achieved in excellence. It can only be achieved in mediocrity. And we have achieved
that." The message of this is ultimately anti-equality.
Oh, yeah. It's like
yeah,
all
it's
that.
Anti-equality. Like, it's... He's also, I think, taking a shot at Buddhism.
Yeah.
The desire
there's
stuff.
There's a lot mixed up.
There's a lot going on here.
But just.
Most of it being that Ben is.
Such an existentially such an offensive place to take an opposition to the reality that not everybody is afforded equal opportunities and people are dying because of it. Like,
but if if you help any particular group, it ends with them being strangely disadvantaged.
Yep.
Like, again, I have to assume he's talking about the Civil Rights Act.
I mean, we haven't even talked about that clip that's going around of him on social media with him with the kids.
Oh, God. The beautiful moment.
God. Anyway, continue with the book.
All right.
We'll talk about that on Even More News.
"Equality is the key. Equality cannot be achieved in excellence. It can only be achieved in mediocrity. We have achieved it within the bubble. All are equal. All want nothing. Aspire to nothing. It is perfect. It is stasis. It took generations, 3 generations, to breed out the intelligent, to select out the unique. We have more disease now, but we have no unhappiness. More poverty now, but shared by all. The secrets of science that once made men look to the heavens have been lost to us. There were some left over from the purge."
Purge is capitalized. Sorry, Katie, you had something to say?
Nothing.
it's funny. Dumb. Like, he's thinks that like this is the end goal of like
the end
Planned
goal
Parenthood.
That's what I was thinking too. Is just like, this is what you think we want. You think that this is the goal? What do you?
It's well, I think just, he would say he thinks that this
thinks,
is what, like,
he thinks what,
like, what it
yeah.
would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, right. But also, yes.
The intention yeah. is not this, but it's the inevitable.
This is what liberals want when they yeah. complain about inequality, is they mm-hmm. just want everybody to
be
live.
Poorer,
it,
yeah.
It's also funny that, like, okay, so, Ben, in this world you've set up, you've say you have more poverty now than they did before they broke the whole world. But also, you haven't shown us any poverty. No. Everyone has the same stuff, but everybody seems to be fine.
They have, he's they have
just
a balcony
and not wanting
food,
anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like there's plenty of food. They all have balconies. Like, yeah, what where is the poverty, right? Like, you, and again, it's easy to establish that. 1984 does a good job of it, of like talking about the terrible swill that they drink as beer and like how unsatisfying.
That would require, you know, so much more thought.
Just like write a book, I guess.
Mm, hell, he is. Yeah.
You know, so. Mention that there's holes in the pants or something. Like, yeah. I don't know. Anyway.
No, he can't mention that because that would require him describing the uniform that he is apparently wearing. Anyway. Fuck. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So
there were some left over from the Purge. Again, Purge is capitalized. This is another mm-hmm. event. We operated on them. Most remained as they were. A few, an unlucky few, reverted, their brains taking over functional operation from their damaged areas.
What?
Those, yeah.
What does that mean?
Damaged areas? Is areas capitalized?
Their brains no. taking over functions from... Okay, I don't understand what he's saying here, but it's...
That,
I don't
the
know
purge,
that there's an
there
explanation that will make it make
they
sense.
They operated
them,
on them. Some unlucky
some
few
like...
reverted because their brains took over functional operation from their damaged areas.
Yep.
All right, moving on.
Those we eliminated. We have achieved what no one ever thought possible. An end to unhappiness.
I'm sorry, man. You just said that there's unhappiness. It's just everybody shares it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say this.
You're very inconsistent about what the goal of
this
is.
Did he say there is happiness, but everybody would share it? Or there's poverty?
No, he said that...
Ugh, God.
Where is it?
And it also doesn't matter.
No dreams means no unhappiness, or at least equal unhappiness.
Yep, there it is.
Like,
yeah.
You had him admit the thing, so just, like, have him still understand what he's saying, whatever.
An end to unhappiness, blah, blah.
All right, the man peered at him again, seemed to look beyond him. Just use the word and. Fuck, man. Like, sorry. The man peered at him again, comma, seemed to look beyond him. But one man can destroy the system. Oh, that's him.
But one man can destroy the system. One man who believes he is different. One man who dreams, who aspires, who wants more, who even feels that want.
Two shadows leapt onto the wall behind him. He glanced quickly. Flanking him were two enforcers. The withered man pushed himself up from the bed.
Are you unhappy?
Said the man. He nodded. I will say that he really should have just given this fucker a name. Like,
yeah,
every
sure.
time he says he, it's after he describes this other man.
Yeah.
And it's just like give him a fucking name.
Just have him introduce himself.
Yeah. He nodded.
That is unfortunate,
the man said. He hesitated. Not the man, but him. He hesitated. His eyes closed. Burned behind his eyelids was that image, the star crossing the heavens, blazing its way through the solid, soft curtain. His heart pounded in his chest. When he opened his eyes, the enforcers stood on either side of him. No, he said. It is happiness to be so unhappy.
Who says that?
The guy, the main
Ben?
Guy. He's been saving it. Yeah, Ben does. He's been saving that for the entire time.
It's, one more time, say it again.
No, he said. It is happiness to be so unhappy. Yeah. Kind of a...
Okay. Sure.
You know, he's trying mm-hmm. a thing. He's trying a thing. One might describe it as a bit of a stinker, but some might enjoy it. I don't know. It's fine.
I don't think anyone did. That's why he pulled this and now pretends he never wrote it.
That's right.
That it is funny that he did eventually come to realize what a shit...
Yeah, he knows.
By the way,
yeah.
I found a Breitbart review of these this book of short stories. There is
no.
one. Oh, it's like cloyingly positive, obviously.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. It's very funny.
That was before he did the one good thing he's ever done, which is leave Breitbart. because of
did he write the review?
Journalist is abused.
No. You're right, though. That is like the one moment where Ben Shapiro actually made a moral stand that took some courage.
Yeah, made a decision, did it. It was probably tough for him.
How much more do we have left of this book?
Yeah.
Fucking too much, Katie.
We're at 56 minutes already.
So we're on the second to last page.
Oh, good. Okay, let's do it. Let's finish.
Wanna
let's
go,
knock
wanna,
it out.
Want to power through? Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do
sure.
it.
Sure.
All right. We're at the climax, I guess you'd call it. After he says, "It is a happiness to be so unhappy," the man nodded. The enforcer on his right hand grabbed him by the arm, pinioning it to his side.
Okay.
But he was too
sure. Sure. Fine.
But he was too fast. His brain now moving faster than those of the enforcers. What?
Sure.
What? All right.
Of course.
Say that again.
His brain now moving faster.
He was too fast. His brain now moving faster than those of the enforcers.
Got a real fast brain.
Speeding up the action. So it's like reverse bullet time, I guess.
Yeah.
That's going on.
That's actually not how people like think about actions or whatever. Mm. You know, you could, there's a thousand ways to write it, but not that. That's the one way you would write it.
This is the thousandth and one.
Yeah.
Anyway, it speeds up the action. He shot his foot forward.
Okay.
He shot his foot forward, tripping the enforcer.
Okay.
Then he kicked him in the head.
Okay.
The enforcer grunted, then lay still. Then lay still?
God, it's just so easy. Every obstacle is so easy. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah. Right.
He leapt to the bookcase. His hand gripped a volume. The Pentateuch, it said. And he pulled it from the bookcase. The withered man was screaming now. In anger or despair, he could not tell. He swung the heavy volume, metal-edged, at the other enforcer, who was moving toward him with a slow certitude. The book crunched into the enforcer's skull, and he toppled to the floor with a crash.
Okay, so there are a
These
number
are
of
terrible
things.
Enforcers.
I have to explain like why this is bad, like why this is not good action writing, like why this is deeply unsatisfying. And it's, again, because Ben never does the thing that is fundamental to storytelling, which is setup and payoff, right? Everything that is good about a story comes down to setup and payoff. So if you want to set up him beating an enforcer to death with a book and have it mean anything at all, you have to set up a couple of things. Number one, previously to him walking into this room, he has to be broadly aware of the idea of books and that he's forbidden from them. Now, there's a number of ways to do this. You could do it like in the movie Equilibrium, right, where he turns a friend in when he realizes they have banned books, but then like it haunts him and he regrets it or something. Or you could have him stumble upon somewhere, maybe he's doing like cleanup work and he finds in this old ruined house like a book and he reads a little from it, but then it gets spotted and taken from him and he's punished. You know, you could do it that way. But you need to set up that books, that they mean anything at all to this person. Because at this point, we don't know that he knows anything about what a book is supposed to be but a club, right? Like, he's not aware that they contain knowledge. He's never seen one before.
No, he just knows that they're obsolete.
Yeah, that they're obsolete. But, like, for what?
For what? Exactly.
Here's the other
thing.
But here
we are also slipping between the narrator and this guy's perspective. So it's
he also
very
does
hard
that
to know
he's bad.
When it's just the narrator right? saying he picked up a book. Yeah. But then you need to at least establish, like, he wasn't sure what this was. He'd never held one before.
Yeah.
But, like, it seemed like a something that you, whatever it is that you can do. Yeah.
The other thing we would need to set up, because this action, there's nothing that's at all satisfying about a guy beating up some dudes and just being good at
it
for
it
no particular
so easy.
Reason.
He just kicks him.
Yeah. What would be satisfying, or could potentially be satisfying if written competently, is he has an altercation with the guards before, maybe when they're taking away this book that he's found, and he tries to fight them and they just brutalize him. And he can't really react because he can't even visualize the things that would be necessary to physically defend himself. And, you know, throughout the course of the story, he's kind of breaking down this internal programming. And that's what allows him to actually think and fight more effectively, because he can now strategize because he's broken through the and all they can do is kind of walk forward and hit. And he's capable of, like, trapping them and tricking them. And, like, you again, set it up. This is why, like, if you look at, like, I don't know, whether you're talking about, like, the hero's journey or, like, you know, stuff like Dan Harmon's story circle, there's always this moment where, like, the hero tries and fails to do the thing that he then does at the end of the book that is part of, like,
you mean like the fucking like bare a story. Minimum, like yeah. the simplest like, fucking thing.
Like the thing that people like most is to see growth, is to see someone
success
try to
after
do something,
failure. It's so
fail,
fucking simple.
And then succeed again. Because that's also the most satisfying thing in life. To try something to fail yeah. and then to get better at it and try again and succeed. Like, that's kind of the entire human motivation for all of society and art and inventiveness. So you might want to include a little bit of that in your story. Yeah. Anyway, that's why this is bad. So let's finish this crap yeah. spackle.
Yeah. So he boringly crunched an enforcer's skull with a book that meant nothing to him. To recap, he faced the withered man. "Is there anything out there?" he said, or asked, whatever.
"No,"
said the withered man.
"There isn't."
"How can you be so certain?"
"I can't. But man has been searching for so long, and he has never found it."
He moved toward the withered man and stood over him. "You took my chance to search from me, from us all. It was my right." The word popped into his head, unbidden. "Our right to search."
"I protected you,"
the man protested. A swell of pain touched his chest. He's so special, he remembers the word right. Mm-hmm. A swell of pain touched his chest. Pity. He had heard the word, but did not know its meaning.
He Who did he hear the word from?
Some enforcer, I guess.
Yeah, where did he hear the word? Why did he hear? What was the... Again, don't say that. Have him hear the word earlier in some sort of context that
yep.
moves the story.
No.
Write a story.
We got to do it now. Yeah. We got to do it quickly.
Like, I mean, at no point has he even really... Like, people don't really socialize even. Okay.
Yeah.
I would like
I mean,
to
it's unclear
see
because
social
they all go stargazing together and fuck. So maybe yeah, they are
fuck,
socializing.
They play cards once a week.
I have pity on you.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, okay. He apparently heard the word pity sometime, but it doesn't matter when
sure.
because
yeah.
Nothing matters. Who cares?
Yeah.
He pushed the man down onto the mattress, reached for the man's pillow, placed it over the man's face. Use the word and, Ben. Mm-hmm. Once in your fucking life. All right. He pushed the man down onto the mattress, comma, reached for the man's pillow, comma, placed it over the man's face, period. The man gasped. He fought. At the last, as his old body shuddered, he grunted. What? He's trying to... Okay. The man gasped. He fought. At the last, he's referring to the gasp, but there is another sentence between the fucking... The man gasped and this... It's fine.
Okay, sure.
I'm calming myself down. As his old body shuddered, he grunted. Something that sounded like a plea. A last hope. No. No, he said as the man drew his last breath. You protected us from our humanity. From our possibility. May God... The word jumped again to his mouth.
Lord. God damn it. Okay, sure, Ben.
May God forgive you. When the man was dead, he dragged him outside onto the mountain.
Sure.
Halley's Comet.
Uh-huh. Because he suddenly knows now. Uh-huh.
Well, also because it's Halley's Comet, right?
You're the one.
Wait, how does he spell it?
H-A-L-E-Y.
Oh, yeah. It's H-A-L-L-I.
It was correct originally.
Yeah,
that's
H-A-L-L-E-Y.
Really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's just funny.
Yeah. It's just funny. One of the two times he fucking referenced the fucking one real thing we all can Google anyway. Halley's Comet still glowed in the sky, its after trail burning the night into brightness. He buried the man on the mountain.
Comet?
Okay.
Then, using the comet, capitalized, as his guide, he turned his back on the bubble and began walking. He did not look back.
Where's the... So he's going to die in the woods because he has no survival skills or knowledge? I guess Ben's saying that his God filled his mind with all this knowledge. So
yeah,
I'm sure he's going
to
be a new Abraham and whatnot.
Yeah,
yada,
he's a
yada,
special,
yada.
Special God
but,
boy.
But like nothing that Ben has established would make him even remotely capable of saying the thing that he said to the guy at the end because he doesn't know any of that stuff.
No, no, it needs to be divine intervention.
Yeah, which is fun and bad, and it's just a bad. It's a bad story.
It's bad. It's bad. Let's finish this bad story.
Yeah. Oh, it's over. That's the end.
That was it.
That's done.
Oh,
yeah. He began walking away from the bubble, and he did not look back. And that is the end of that fucking
story. Well, I'm happy it's over.
Aren't we all?
Aren't we all?
Said the man.
Boy,
the main character, did something else. God, so bad.
All of these things are so disappointing, even for Ben Shapiro.
I think they met my expectations. In some cases, exceeded them by being so good. I just want him to write his full-length sci-fi novel.
I know we're gonna have
and
to
I and I desperately
book club
desperately want it to just be this but longer. Like it would be so fucking funny if he like couldn't even come up with a second idea.
We're gonna get someone on the inside. This I promise you.
Yeah,
I swear by the Halley's Comet.
Yes, we promise. No, so, yes, I was gonna say actually it's Halley's Comet. No, you did it wrong, rightly.
Oh boy, this has been fun. I guess it's back to our normal bullshit next week.
The shooting star of podcasting.
That's what they call us.
And
we
a meteor
get that
and
merch.
A comet, and it's in the sky, and it's very bright and lighting up the mountain with our pods and casting.
All right, cool. We did it. We did it. We did it. Hooray. I love you all.
Yeah.
Oh, same.
Yeah, well, this will probably be it for us and Ben Shapiro until he comes out with that dystopian science fiction novel, which
Hugo Award winning.
It is the only thing that I now look forward to in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're gonna get our paws on it for
what else
sure.
Is there?
Get the band back together again to do this.
Yeah, that's going to come out in 6 months, and we're going to have to slowly gather you up like the Avengers. We'll find Cody fly fishing outside of Montana.
Oh, if
where will I be?
Katie, you're going to be planning an elaborate bank heist with a cast of Clooney-esque characters.
Oh my God, that's
all
what I
Clooney-esque.
It's going to be great. Sophie's going to be designing the lunar lander. It's going to be we'll have like a fun little montage as we have to grab everybody and.
Well, because we have to read
it. I told you I was out. Yeah, well, I'm pulling you back in. That sort of stuff.
Exactly.
You know?
So we gotta break into Sophie's new place of business to steal the lunar lander because we're going to fly to the moon and read.
It's the only way to get to the last copy of Ben Shapiro's dystopian science fiction novel.
Like we could make a whole career and a hit show off of just
Ocean's 11, but we're just trying to find the drafts that Ben doesn't want anyone to see of his writing.
I think we're onto something. All right. For now, we're gone. We're out of here.
Oh my gosh. You're right. We're out of here.
Everything's so dumb, and it's gonna get dumber.
Great. I tried. Yes. Daniel.
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.